The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Go into the world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he spoke to them, was taken up into heaven, and he took his seat at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere, where the Lord worked with them, and confirmed the word through accompanying signs. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus
Christ. Morning, everyone. We could start with our prayer for vocations. It's in your order of worship as well. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Let us ask God to give worthy priests, brothers, and sisters to his holy church. O God, we earnestly beseech thee to bless this diocese with many priests, brothers, and sisters who will love thee with their whole strength and gladly spend their entire lives to serve thy church and to make thee known and loved. Bless our families, bless our children. Choose from our home those who are needed for thy work. Mary, Queen of the Clergy, pray for us. Pray for our priests and religious. Obtain for us many more. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Good morning, and a very happy Mother's Day today to all our mothers. It's kind of a powerful day. So here we are, it's the anniversary of Our Lady of Fatima, May 13th. And also we know that the bishops of the United States moved Ascension Thursday to Sunday to accommodate our busy schedules. I think that's the reason. I jokingly put up on Facebook, I said, "Oh, I'm so glad Jesus waited to ascend because my day was a little packed." So we are reflecting on the Ascension and the original novena. Okay, novena means nine days. So the time between the Ascension on Thursday and Pentecost, those 9 days, they waited for the coming of the Holy Spirit, right? And so if you've been catching on social media, I've also put it up on the parish website, there is actually a novena to the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we're actually today on the third gift. We're asking for power. We've been talking about this for about a year or so now. You know, notice in the gospel, and here's the key word. Jesus said to his disciples, okay, not his apostles, his disciples. That meant anyone who was hanging out wanting to learn. Disciple means student, okay? His disciples, that's us. We're hanging out. We want to learn. Okay, what did he say to his disciples? He says, "Go into the world and proclaim the gospel to every creature." But then it went on. "These signs will accompany them. They will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands. If they drink deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." The disciples, you and I, are called to wield that power. The power of the Holy Spirit given to all of us. We should expect miracles, in other words. This, as we've been contemplating for the last year, has been the reason why Satan has been more powerful than us over the last 100 years, because we forgot about this. We dismissed this. We scoffed at this supernatural power of God. We let the notion of the Enlightenment, you know, that we have superior knowledge now and we know better than our ancestors who had this silly notion of superstition that there's such a thing as miracles, and that, you know, Jesus actually appears on the altar in the form of bread and wine. You know, we'll put that aside now, and we'll be intelligent, rational. That got in. And so the only power capable of pushing back Satan was lost for that period of time. But here's the good news. We're recovering it again. And we're seeking that power again. And we're recognizing, seeing more miracles. We're seeing the very power of God. That's what we're called to do. To call upon God's power, to believe in it. For those who believe, they will see signs even greater than these, he said. The ones that Jesus was performing. And we've seen those through the centuries. We've seen them here in our parish. So we celebrate Mother's Day. We also celebrate Mother's Day, right? Mother's Day. Our Lady of Fatima. Now, I can't speak for all moms, but I think this is a good hunch. What moms want more than anything, it's beautiful and it's touching. By the way, go buy a rose. It helps support pro-life efforts, right, for your mom today. It's a very moving and touching thing. Go out and buy her breakfast. Clean up the house. Do lots of things. But you know what she wants more than anything? Is to be with you for all of eternity in heaven. She wants to be with you for all of eternity. So, be careful that your calculation isn't that, well, God's just kind of good with anything, and even though I don't pay attention to him all day, every day, and kind of keep him in a closet in case I need him, okay, I'm good to go to heaven. Be careful. All of sacred scripture, all the teachings of the church, everything that we've learned says probably not. Probably not. When you give God last place, when you put him low man in the totem pole in your priorities in life, you're probably not going to make it to heaven. And moms want you there with them. We've been working in this parish for the past 11 years on dads. What do moms want in their husbands? They want a strong spiritual leader. They want a man that actually believes this stuff and practices it and wants to wield that power to bring blessing to the home, to shoo out any demons in their house, to lead their children, their family to heaven. We have to be careful. Our calculation isn't that, you know, God's okay with, you know, sinning and building our own religion, you know, even though our Catholic faith tells us this thing, yeah, we kind of make our own thing up over here and we're good to go. Not according to scripture, not according to the teachings of the church, not according to anything anybody's ever heard or said about what God wants from us. Is that going to get us into heaven with our moms for all of eternity? Your mom wants more than anything else for you to be with them, not just in this life, but for all eternity. There's your Mother's Day gift. I want to conclude with reflecting on what the disciples were waiting for, the power of the Holy Spirit, so the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to take a few moments now. When you go to that place that I posted that gives the novena for the seven gifts, we're in day three. Just read day one, two, and three. It takes you a few minutes. Then pray the prayers that it asks afterwards, a couple paragraphs. And you're caught up. If you haven't started with us on Friday was the start date, the day after Ascension Thursday, okay? And then spend this time saying, yes, Lord, I want what you want to give me. Now, before we do these reflections, I just want to say, let's pay attention to the first one. Because this is what we've been teaching for all this year. If you want all the gifts, you got to get the first one. That gets you in the door. That awakens the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Then the rest come after that. Okay? If you could just get in a little bit of contemplative mode now. Just close your eyes and listen. and try his best to hear with the ears of your heart. Lord God, we ask for the gift of fear. The gift of fear fills us with a sovereign respect for God and makes us dread nothing so much as to offend him by sin. It is a fear that arises not from the thought of hell, but from sentiments of reverence and filial submission to our Heavenly Father. It is the fear that is the beginning of wisdom, detaching us from worldly pleasures that could in any way separate us from God. They that fear the Lord will prepare their hearts, and in his sight will sanctify their souls. We pray for the gift of piety. The gift of piety begets in our hearts a filial affection for God as our most loving Father. It inspires to love and respect for his sake persons and things consecrated to him, as well as those who are vested with his authority, his Blessed Mother and the saints, the church and its visible head, our parents and superiors, our country and its rulers. He who is filled with the gift of piety finds the practice of his religion not a burdensome duty, but a delightful service. Where there is love, there is no labor. We pray for the gift of knowledge. The gift of knowledge enables the soul to evaluate created things at their true worth in their relation to God. Knowledge unmasks the pretense of creatures, reveals the emptiness, and points out their only true purpose as instruments in the service of God. It shows us the loving care of God even in adversity and directs us to glorify him in every circumstance of life. Guided by its life, we put things first and prize the friendship of God beyond all else. Knowledge is a foundation of life to him that possesses it. We pray for the gift of fortitude. By the gift of fortitude, the soul is strengthened against natural fear and supported to the end in the performance of duty. Fortitude imparts to the will an impulse and energy which move it to undertake without hesitancy the most arduous tasks, to face dangers, to trample underfoot human respect, and to endure without complaint the slow martyrdom of even lifelong tribulation. He that shall persevere unto the end, he shall be saved. We pray for the gift of knowledge. The gift of knowledge enables the soul to evaluate created things at their true worth in their relation to God. Knowledge unmasks the pretense of creatures, reveals their emptiness. We're on to the gift of understanding. The gift of understanding is a gift of the Holy Spirit that helps us to grasp the meaning of the truths of our holy religion. By faith we know them, and by understanding we learn to appreciate and relish them. It enables us to penetrate the inner meaning of revealed truths, and through them to be quickened to newness of life. Our faith ceases to be sterile and inactive, but inspires a mode of life that bears eloquent testimony to the faith that is in us. We begin to walk worthy of God in all things, pleasing to him and increasing in the knowledge of God. And we pray for the gift of counsel. The gift of counsel endows the soul with a supernatural prudence, enabling it to judge promptly and rightly what must be done, especially in difficult circumstances. Counsel applies the principles furnished by knowledge and understanding to the innumerable concrete cases that confront us in the course of our daily duty as parents, teachers, public servants, and Christian citizens. Counsel is supernatural common sense, a priceless treasure in the quest of salvation. Above all these things, pray to the Most High that he may direct the way of truth. And we pray, come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant us in the same Spirit to be truly wise and ever to rejoice in his consolation. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. And we wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.